I will worship him.
I don't want to stop. Thanks, Christina, for leading us in worship this morning with the team. Wow. Do you feel loved this morning? Huh? You sure? Some of you aren't quite sure yet. Oh, man. I don't know. I just, one of these Sabbaths, we just need to sing for a whole hour. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm for that. Love, love, love. The love of God. You know, this week, this is one of the things that I was spending a good portion of my week just contemplating and thinking about God's love. And it's a deep subject, really. And I got to thinking about the evidence of God's love. Because, you know, that's, we humans, we're always thinking about, well, we want proof, right? Prove to me. You know, it's funny because last week I talked about the because. You know, how do you know if somebody loves you? I'll tell you how you can find out real quick. When they say, oh, I love you, baby, you just say, and finish the sentence, because. And find out. They'll tell you. It'll throw them off guard because I tried it out in a couple people this week. Because. I love you because. Now finish that. Okay? The person next to you, ask them that sometime. Or the person behind you, or anybody for that matter. I love you because. Because. Because you make me feel good, baby. Now that's narcissistic. All right? All right? If they use that one on you, you better take them to a counselor. All right? I love you for who you are. Okay, that's pretty good, but really? Because I ain't that good, right? So you gotta give me another reason. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible teaches us over and over again, and Jesus himself teaches it, that God loved us in spite of who we were. Isn't that cool? Yeah, think about that. Do you know anybody, do you have anybody in your life that loves you in spite of who you are? All right. Now that can be a bad thing too, because a lot of people go, well, you know, you just have to love me the way I am. Well, that's not a good thing either, because that's an excuse for being nasty and mean and ornery, right? And people like to ride that horse. That's not a good one. You need to get bucked off of that one real quick. Here's a good one though. I love you because God loved you. You like that one? I like that one, okay? Because that kind of love is love that we as human beings don't get. All right? It's the kind of love that we don't give either very well. And I got to go back to this. I may have mentioned it before, but there's something about dogs. And y'all going, yeah, here he goes again. Well, I got 5 of them in my house. I spend a lot of time with dogs. You know? Those of you that are on Facebook, every so often my wife will catch them. Here I am, Wednesday. No, it was Thursday. I'm sitting, and for some reason they like my leather chair, all right? It's the only thing in my house that's manly now. All right? All right? And it's going to get painted pink probably one of these days. But anyways, so I sit in this really old leather chair, and I love it. It's so comfortable. And the dogs have decided it's theirs too. So usually if I sit down to study or to pray or to just meditate or read God's word, I have to scoot at least 2 dogs off of there. Get off of my chair. And the older dog, the big dog, can't sit in the chair, so she lays right in front of the chair. So I've got, you know, I've got to get in my chair, you know. And then as soon as I sit down, then they're all on top of me, all right? And I go, come on, guys, I'm trying to read the Bible, you know, and I'm trying to look through these dogs. You know, they're all trying to pile on my lap, you know. You know, Ryan and Katie are coming home, though, and 2 of them get to go. Praise the Lord. And so, love, unconditional love. And I got to thinking, okay, what examples do we have in God's creation that are examples of God's unconditional love? Because, you know, we don't often see it with our relationships as humans. And I thought, a dog. A dog. Now, there's a station, a channel that I watch on TV that every so often likes to put on these pictures of emaciated dogs that have been abused. I don't know if you've ever seen dogs that have really been abused terribly. I can't. I have to change the station when those come on. I really do. It's not that I don't have any compassion, but I've rescued dogs that were terribly abused as a kid, and it brings back terrible memories for me. And yet those dogs, even though they've been beaten and abused beyond just unbelievably, will still show love for their masters. Still show love. You know, the psalmist repeatedly reminds us that the world that we live in is corrupt and as bad as it might seem. There is ample evidence of God's love. In fact, I think we even may have, one of the texts that I had written down in my notes here, I believe was even on the screen. Psalm 69. You know, there's no excuse. I just noticed that there's at least 6 or 9 Bibles in each pew. Well, okay, yeah, there's about 6. Grab a Bible. Or your electronic Bible. Whatever you choose, all right? Take a look at Psalms. Just briefly. A small portion of the Psalms. Psalms 69, beginning with, I believe it was verse 34 you had up on the screen. So let's take a look at verse 34. I'm over one more here. The psalmist, of course, was a man that I believe had a lot of passion. And of course, you know, as an artist and as a poet and as a musician, you know, he loved putting that passion into words. And here it says, verse 34, Psalm 69, verse 34 says, "Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then the people will settle there and possess them." All of God's nature, everything that we see in the world around us, you can look at the ugly and the mean and the nasty, but folks, God reveals his love for us in the world we live in. Just look around you. You know? We know it's not going to always be here. That's a given. No matter how much we cut back on our carbon, you know, footprint on this planet, it's going to end, folks. It's a dying planet, all right? It's been dying now for thousands of years. We know that. But even in its death throes, even as it declines, even as the quality of the earth around us declines and dies off, there is so much beauty that is a revelation of God's love. Open your eyes and look around. It's there. It's there. God's unconditional love. No matter how much we abuse it, no matter how much we use it up, he still provides it. It's still there. There's still air to breathe. There's still water to drink. There's still sun that shines down and brings the beauty of the grass and the flowers and the trees. And the birds still sing of his love and his mercy. The birds are still provided for by God's loving hand. Even the birds that fall and die, God sees them. He knows that. He loves them. And he loves your dog. I'm convinced of that. I don't care what anybody says. I'm convinced that the dogs were created for human beings. All right? Eve was created for Adam and Adam for Eve, but then, you know, along came the dogs, you know? Somebody that doesn't love dogs, nah, I don't know. You got a problem you need to talk to me about. Dogs are just great. And cats, I'm sorry, cats too. Cats do their own thing, though. It's like, yeah, you exist, but, you know, I'll love you when I want to love you. Right? Come on. Isn't that right? Not dogs. Cats will love you when they feel like loving you, but dogs will love you no matter what. You can, there's nothing like being greeted when you come home, and I'm only gone maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour, and it's like I've been gone days. Leaping and yelling and yapping and barking and trying to get, you know, me to pick them up. Dogs show an incredible love, and I believe that that is an example of God's love for us. Really, I do. Okay? And not, you just look around you, as I said, God loves you. You know, there's another text too. If you look at, the Psalms are full of them. I was looking at a few this week. Look at Psalms 97, if you want another example, okay? Psalms 97. Listen to this. You may even know this one by heart. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice, the clouds and the thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world, the earth sees and trembles, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. Next time you see lightning, that's a proclamation. Next time you see blue sky, we haven't seen it for a while. You guys think you have it bad here? Go to Seattle. I was there a couple weeks ago. Yeah, we flew in and it was raining, and it rained, continued to rain until we crossed over the mountains into eastern Washington, and then we could see the sky. And then we had some nice weather in Walla Walla, and then we went back to Seattle, and it was raining, but then the next day, it was blue sky, and everybody was out running around enjoying the blue sky. And then we got in the plane, and we flew down to Ontario Airport, and it was raining. and in my house, it was overcast for several days, and I thought, am I ever going to see the blue sky again? Well, look at today. Isn't it beautiful? That is evidence of God's love for you. Don't take it for granted. We take so much for granted, don't we? And we do that with each other too, don't we? We take each other for granted. You know, don't do that. It's not a good thing. Okay? Don't take each other for granted, and don't take God's love for granted either. When you see it, acknowledge it. Thank God for what he gives you. Because without his love, the world would have died a long time ago. The world is sustained by God's love for you. Okay? And so, all of God's creation, as I look at it, everything we see in the world that is beautiful is the because. It's God saying, I love you because. All right? When you see the beauty of a sunset, it's saying, God saying to you, I love you because you're my child. When you hear the laugh of a baby, when you see the smile of a baby, that is God's love filling that baby's little heart. They're so innocent. They don't know anything else but just to smile and be happy. You say, well, they're crying. I say, you know what? When a baby cries, it's great because you know that it's breathing, and you know that by making that noise, it's telling you something. Oh, babies just cry because they want to cry. No, babies cry for a reason. I learned that, and the sooner you learn that as a parent, the better off you'll be. All right? Babies cry for a reason. All right? God communicates to us in so many ways. We have to open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to receive that communication. And once we've received that communication, we need to acknowledge it, not just intellectually, acknowledge it in your heart and say to God, wherever you want to say it. By the way, nowadays it's okay to talk to yourself as you walk down the sidewalk. And 10, 20 years ago, when you saw somebody going down the sidewalk like this, you know, you go, let me out of the way here. That's one crazy person. Nowadays, I see it all the time. All the time. People go, and talking out loud. Walmart, oh man. It's crazy. I mean, not just Walmart, Stater Brothers too. I see this lady on the aisle, and she's talking to a Rice Krispies box really loud, and she's using some profane language too. And I'm going, what's wrong with a Rice Krispies box? And then I realize I see this little wire coming down here, and I go, oh, she's talking on the phone. Now you can't even tell who's crazy and who isn't crazy. We've gone mad. So you just assume that when somebody's doing that they're just talking on the phone. All right? You see? So if you want to talk to God, it's free open season now. You can talk to God all the time, walking down the sidewalk. You can say, God, you know what? I can't believe today's such a wonderful day. It's so beautiful out here. Or you can say, God, man, you know, I'm really upset. What did you do this for? Talk to God. That's the bottom line. Just talk to Him. All right? Because you know what? Being a Christian, being a son and daughter of God is not a one-way street. All right? We think it is. In fact, a lot of us live our lives that way. We live our lives taking, 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 taking. We take love, we take everything, we take, but we never give back. You see? Love is a two-way street. You say, well, God's a big boy, He doesn't need my love. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. By the way, that's why He created you. You go, what? I thought God just needed something to do, so He created another world. No. God created us to commune with Him, to talk with Him, to return love to Him. It is not a one-way street. God's love for us is something that He desires, that He longs for us to love Him back. Love Him back. Uh-huh. See, everything we see, the life we live here, the relationships we have on this earth, the world that we live in, is God's because to us. Yeah. So when God asks you, do you love me? He's also saying, give me the because. All right? Oh, I hear people say it all the time. Oh, I love God because He blesses me with this. He blesses me with that. He gives me this. He gives me that. Once again, that's a narcissistic relationship. It's not healthy. All right? And you know when you hear that the most? Is when you're in a crisis. Or when you need something really, really bad from God. You know, most of you know that recently they went through a bit of a crisis. We're still kind of in one right now with our grandson who had recently, just a couple weeks ago, had two tumors taken out of the side of his brain here. Actually, praise God, it was between the membrane of the brain and the skull. So, praise God, it wasn't cancerous and it wasn't attached to his optic nerve because he was losing his eyesight at 8 years old. Not just one tumor, but two. And for months, I prayed to God, and I wrestled with God, and I told God what to do, and I told Him what not to do. And every so often, when I allowed this two-way relationship to take place, He said to me, what will happen if this doesn't end up well in your eyes? What will happen? Will you still love me? I guess if I learn nothing else through that experience, it's still not over yet, is that my love for God needs to be much deeper than the what if, or the because even. And I asked myself, is that something that I'm capable of doing as a human being? Really? What's my track record? Not good. Not a good track record. Well, shame on you. You're 63 years old. Your track record ought to be perfect. By now you should know how to love unconditionally. Especially God, right? Yes, I am the chief of sinners. There's nothing good in me. Who is going to save me from this rotting, putrefying, sinful condition? Who said that besides me? Paul did, didn't he? Didn't Paul say that? Oh, but none of you can identify with Paul, after all. You have a greater truth. He lived, 2,000 years ago, and we have greater light now than he had, really. I'm still trying to figure out the light that he had. Isn't that what the Great Reformation is all about? The world was deep in darkness, literally in darkness. I mean, the world pre-Reformation was so dark that it was ready to shut down and close down. The Black Plague had destroyed the world so bad, we still don't know how many people died from that. We don't. It started in China. Genghis Khan brought it to Europe, along with the rats that came on ships from Asia and from all over the world, parts of Europe. Half the population of Europe died. Half. They say at least that much or more of Asia died. There were entire continents, there were entire islands in Asia that were depopulated. They're just finding this stuff out by the Black Plague. And if you had lived then, you talk about being freaked out. You know, somebody plows through New York, a crowd of people, and what, 13 people get killed? And we go crazy. You know? And everybody comes out of the woodwork. And then we have Ebola, and a few thousand people die of Ebola. Ebola. I'm sorry. Ebola. Ebola. We have the AIDS disease that has spread around the world, and I don't know what the count is now, but it's up there. Okay? And we freak out. What if in 1 year half the population of America was zapped out like that? What would you say? What would you say? It's happened before. Unconditional love. Well, I don't know about you, but it's not something I fully comprehend, and it's not something I fully know how to practice. But I'll tell you one thing. I do know that Jesus Christ came to this world to be an example. But not just to be an example, but to be a living example of God's love. He lived love in every aspect of his life. He lived it. And yet, folks, 2,000 years later, we still enjoy intellectual religion. We love intellectual religion. You know why? Because it keeps us from having to really deal with the kind of religion or kind of spirit-filled Christianity that Jesus set the example for. There are churches packed with people that love intellectual religion. But the Bible tells us very clearly that if they do not have love, there is no truth in them. Boing. Wow. That's a tough one. I mean, let's just face it, folks. There are churches that I have visited that I've turned down calls from. My first Sabbath there, I should have just worn ice skates. Really? Done a few pirouettes down the aisle. I used to ice skate pretty good. Actually, I played hockey when I was a kid in Korea. Yeah, I know that's funny because I don't look like I could do that now, right? It's true, I couldn't. You're right. This is not my idea. And all you're going to say, oh, yeah, he wants to just talk about love. Well, I'm not talking. I'm reading God's Word. Let's look at it. Turn with me now to the passage of Scripture. I promise I'll let you out in a fair enough time so you can have your lunch. But God's Word is, what? A two-edged sword, and it cuts what? Right to the bone. Right to the, bad to the bone. Huh? Bad to the bone. The Word of God is not only Hebrews, it says it's a living Word. All right? And if it's a living word, then it's a word that says to you and to me, I love you. Because that's God's word. Oh, by the way, the Bible says over and over again that God is love. So if you want the definition of love, look up the word God. And if you want the definition of God, look up the word love. They go together. You can't separate them. God's personality, his character, his being, his glory is love. Love. Not theology. I studied 8 years theology. Did I come out of there a loving person, a better person? Ask my wife. God's love is not natural for us. It's foreign. That's why over and over again, the gospel writers, and especially John in 1 John, over and over again, he says, put on love. When you put something on, it's not natural, right? When you have to put on a shirt, you know, you weren't born with a shirt on, right? You weren't born with a dress on or pants on. The Bible says you come into the world, what? Naked, and you leave the world naked. So everything you put on is something you have to put on. The Bible says put on God's love. Put it on. That means it can be taken off too. But don't ever take it off. Keep it on. It's a choice. Okay, so 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, back to our passage of Scripture. We know that we live in Him. There's this thing about living in Him, the idea of locative sphere, in Him. So, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Ten Commandments. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got to put my glasses back. Oh, His Spirit. What? His Spirit. The most loving thing that Jesus could do as He departed this earth. He'd already done the most loving thing, that was to die for us and forgive us our sins. He sent us part of the family. The Father sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. I know lots of churches that claim to have the truth, but do not have the Spirit. Jesus said Himself, there will come a time when they will worship Me in truth and in spirit. If you deny the Holy Spirit, then there's no truth in you. If you hammer only on truth and have not the Spirit, there's no truth in you. Right? I didn't say that. Take a look at this passage. Come back to our scripture here. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and he or she in God. And so we know and rely on what? The laws of God? The love of God. Oh, really? Is that what it says? It does say that. So we rely on the love of God. And moving on in the passage, I'm going to go back to, I want to emphasize verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, that the love of God has for us. And here it is. Circle this. If you have to say this 10 times a day, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day, I don't care, however many times you have to say it. But it says what? God is love. Yeah? So George Harrison didn't have a corner on, you know, all we need is love, love, love. You know? There were other songs I remember. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Love, love, love. That wasn't... God said that Himself. All right? God is love. God is love. If you need to be reminded and you're in a hard time in your life and you're in a bad place right now in your life and you're in a corner and you've painted yourself into a difficult situation, you're struggling with something, some demon in your life that is trying to destroy you, you need to recognize that God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. Start there. start there and then go out. Start there and then turn to the body of Christ, which is also supposed to be a resemble or an example of God's love, a place where you can find love and support and prayer and strength and encouragement. That's what it's about. And so, beginning, God is love, and whoever lives in love, put love on, once again, lives in God. And God is in him. In this way, love is made complete. When is love made complete? When God lives, his love lives in us. And we live in his love. All right? You want to know where to pitch your tent? Pitch it in God's love. Pitch it in God's love. All right? By the way, that's a choice you have to make. It's not an intellectual thing. You use your intellect, but you need to make that choice. And it needs to come from the heart. Okay? Choose to pitch your tent in God's love. And in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Oh, I thought confidence came from being a part of the right church. Oh, it helps, right? But your confidence comes from knowing that you have a loving relationship with God, and God loves you and you love him. Work on that. And when you get that all done, when you figure out how to do that, then you can start on other things. But start with loving God and accepting the fact that God loves you. I'll guarantee you that's going to be one of the hardest things for you to deal with as an individual, is accepting love. You know why? Because the world around us messes with our minds when it comes to love. All right? Especially with our young people. They hear messages about love that is so messed up. It is so messed up. It took me decades to get that straightened out. The kind of love that we receive in this world doesn't even resemble the kind of love that God wants to give us. So you need to kind of unscramble that, all right? And read about God's love in his word and understand it and accept it into your life, okay? So God's love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Oh, don't we love that? If you don't join my church, you're going to get burned eternally in hell. Is that love? If you don't accept this truth, you're lost. Really? Is that what it says here? That's what men say. That's what human beings say, because human beings want you to follow them. They want you to accept what they believe is truth. But there's really only one ultimate truth in this universe, and that is that God is love. Sit on that for a while. Think about that for a while. Spend a few weeks, few months, few years contemplating God's love in your life. All right? I'm still doing it. I'll be doing it to the day I die. You really think you can really fully understand God's love? Do you really? How many of you think you can actually fully understand God's love? Huh? No hands, no takers. Oh, that's good. Then I'm in that crowd too. Try, you know, okay, if you can't figure out God's love, then try to figure out how God's eternal. That's a mind twister. Yeah? If you can't handle that one, those of you that are great, have great minds and are physicists or understand science and the solar system, how can God be in everywhere in one time? Yeah, you know, even Einstein, they said he was on the verge of understanding that, but I don't know. I think he was chasing down a, you know, anyway. There are so many truths about God that you and I, folks, let's just face it, we will never fully understand. I used to think I have to know it all. That's why I spent 7 years and 8 years studying theology. Because then at the end, I got a diploma and I said, hey, I know it all. Yeah, that was just the beginning of how dumb I was and how little I knew. It was a revelation. I thought I was the smartest theology student. I studied diligently and I learned foreign languages and I had great professors and they were wonderful men. And I thought, well, you know what? I can come out of here and I'll have a lot of knowledge. Yeah, I did. I had a lot of intellect stuff up here. And it's taken 30 years or so to help me come to the realization that knowing it all doesn't mean that you're saved. But loving God and knowing that God loves me, that's going to save me. That will save me. And it will save you too. All right? And I don't mean knowledge. I mean heartfelt relationship with God. All right, so real quick. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because, there's the word because again, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Boy, there's a lot of scared Christians out there. A lot of scared Christians. And you know why they're scared? I include myself there. Because the minute you take your eyes off of Jesus and the love that he showed on the cross, the minute you take your eyes off of that, you become filled with worldly fear. The world is full of it. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or so-and-so, there's going to be a world government. There's going to be a world church. Yeah. So what? Who cares? Who cares? None of that knowledge is going to get you into the kingdom. Only knowing God is going to get you into the kingdom. Only knowing his love and receiving his love and acting and living that love is what will take you into the kingdom. All right? Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. There you go. Y'all think you love God first? No. He loved you long before you even knew there was a God. All right? He loved you from the foundation of the world. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, oh no, do we really have to deal with this? Can we just stop right now and just leave it there? Love, love, love. All we need is love. No, because there needs to be evidence. There needs to be living love. Not dead love, not intellectual love, but living love. Okay? So, here's living love. If you love God, you'll love your brother. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, can't love God, whom he has seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. Well, it's great. It's great to study God's word, isn't it? every time I read God's word, I come away with such mind-boggling concepts and heart-changing truths that the book of Hebrews, where it says, you know, the word of God is like a two-edged sword, is so true, isn't it? It cuts us deep, but it also heals us. Isn't that right? That's good news. It's good news. God is love. And we are his little children.